Just figured I'd play a quick game, you know, before, as we get started. Cool, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. I mean, we have a great, great set of speakers. Today, we're talking about gaming content creation. And gaming has become the number one form of entertainment in the world. It has passed music and Hollywood combined in terms of revenue, and the market penetration with Generation Z and under millennials is fantastic. So today, Morgan, Nicole, and Creefcraft here, they'll give a quick introduction on who they are, and then we'll start introducing and discussing the topic. Morgan, if you can go first.
Thanks, Felix. Great to be here. Great to be here on stage with these wonderful folks. I work at Roblox as the chief scientist, and my job is, I think it's the best job in the world. I help our entire team of 2,500 people focus on innovation to support the needs of our creators and our community.
Fantastic. And hi, I'm Nicole Duquesne Spencer. I'm the VP of Partnerships at Misfits Gaming. We are an interactive entertainment and lifestyle company at the intersection of gaming, media, and culture. And really excited to have Creek here with us, too, who is one of our newly brought on creators.
Hi, yeah, I'm Creekcraft. I'm a Roblox YouTuber and live streamer. And I make videos on Roblox and similar games and live stream almost every day.
Cool, thank you, guys. So I like to say that today, gaming is like what MTV was in the late 80s and the early 90s. It is at the center of youth culture. And we can, you know, cut it many different ways, but some of the pillars that we've identified of what constitutes gaming content is, of course, the games themselves, the esports, the streaming and creator side, and the experiences and extended culture. Overall, all of us in our organizations and what we do touches a few of these elements, but I think it's a good idea to see, you know, what do you think that each of these parts say? So let's say for the gaming part, of course, Roblox is much more than a game. It's a true sandbox where people create. Which part does that play in the gaming content creation world? And of course, you can touch on all the other points. You guys are so broad, but if you can go ahead, Morgan, that'd be great.
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent point, Felix. So Roblox is a platform, and on our platform, all of the content, some of which are games, is created by the community. We don't produce any content ourselves. And it's important that we're talking backstage about, we don't see ourselves as a publisher, for example. Like, it's really about a platform. Mm-hmm. There kind of are no publishers, and then anybody can directly interface with their community. And I think it's important to see that it's not just that gaming has broadened into this larger set of experiences. I think it's this convergence of different forms of media is really exciting, and UGC is at the heart of that. It's one of the reasons I'm so excited to be here with Nicole and Creek.
What do you mean by UGC?
So user-generated content. So just like on Roblox, all the 3D content is created by the community themselves using our free tools. But then now what we're seeing is you can make a whole game-like experience, but also there are people who make the characters, who sell the clothing and the makeup for your characters. And then there are folks like Creek who make their own content, which is in a totally different medium, but based on top of what we're providing. And so he's
right.
Streaming video, and that's a whole other level of user-generated content. And that's replacing, you know, the MTV kind of process, right? It's the equivalent of a punk band putting their video out to their fans directly now. Right, that he can go straight to his fans through YouTube and interact with them live.
Get the feedback live from the fans, which I think is what's really changed the game, right? It's the community part of it and building upon the community and taking their voice, giving them input into it, which I think is so, so powerful. And that's what we've seen. And I think that's what, like, Creek, that's what you have.
Yeah, no, I'm able to just go live on YouTube. You know, it sends out a notification to all my fans. Creekcraft is live, and you know, we kind of hang out, play Roblox games together, and just kind of like chill.
So that's an interesting point. So overall, the people were talking about, I mean, we're in the esports world, so we make a lot of sports analogy, and we started by saying watching Twitch or watching YouTube gaming or now Kick is like watching LeBron play and having a conversation with him at the same time. Mm-hmm. When you approach your content creation experience, Creek, you know, how does that factor into what you're doing? What kind of feedbacks do you get to your audience? And then what do you give back?
Yeah, I mean, how I interact with my audience is like very important. You know, it's not just like playing a game. You're kind of using the game as a tool to entertain. It's kind of like my guitar, I guess. And then I use that to, you know, interact with, play with my community, talk back and forth in the live chat. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet.
Well, I think you're at an exciting point in your career as a creator. And one of the reasons Misfits has been so excited to bring you on and to bring Carl on is to expand upon what you've already done, to have your input in building new games within Roblox. So I think Misfits sits in between the incredible platform of Roblox and these creators, and how can we leverage that and build joint IP and bring in that collaboration and help support that, where creators might not have the resources, but that's what we're here to help with and to help get the message out and create these cool live experiences too, like not just these digitally immersive ones in these games, but also how can we bring the fans in person? How can we have this holistic campaign to just celebrate it all, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're starting to touch upon IP, which is, as soon as we talk about content, we have to talk about IP, because when we create something, it belongs to someone, or does it? I mean, we had a conversation about this earlier, the classic model of publishers, so people who make games, were essentially studios, right? It was based on the idea that Blizzard goes out and they create amazing characters, amazing worlds, like in Warcraft and Diablo and so on, and they progressively monetize these worlds that they've created. But you made a good point about IP and how Roblox approaches it. So if you could talk about that a little bit, it'd be great.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of different forms, and I'm only going to give you a short answer because I think what Nicole has to say is going to be more interesting, and I want to hear that. But one of the things that's been important to us is supporting a full set of different approaches to IP. So as a creator, you can control. You can decide everything in this world is my brand. I pick the Pantone colors. It's totally locked down. Or you can say, I want to create a space for people to come into my world and then engage with my characters and my story in their own way. And they can kind of mix it up and do mashups. But like, this is exactly the center of your world. So what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it's been interesting for Misfits because we started in the esports world with competitive teams in League of Legends, Call of Duty, Overwatch, and really seeing the shift that was happening in the industry to creators and influencer marketing. And creators have such power with their audiences, which is where the attention is, right? And so my job is also to work with brands, bring them into the space. How do they talk to the audiences? But with IP, there's a really interesting, it's an interesting place in the field. Like how can you leverage as a company or a creator the IP that you've already created? What can you do with it? What can you build upon it? Because the games have their own IP. And I think that's what's really interesting about Roblox is that you're not like death gripping your IP. You want people to build and to create. And I think that's what really sets Roblox apart out there, and it's like is breeding creativity amongst their users, which is incredibly unique.
And so when you think about your own brand, Creek, I mean, are you looking at it from an IP creation standpoint, a continuation of yourself?
Yeah, it's always weird referring to myself as a brand. I mean, I guess technically I am, but I just kind of go out there and live stream and play games. But, you know, that's kind of always in the back of my head, you know, how I present myself. You know, the hat is a big part of my brand, right? And then that's all. I've done all that through Roblox, so.
But one thing we were seeing and talking about is that a lot of your streams, a lot of your content is actually helping other people discover content, right? Because there is so much existing within Roblox. An analogy to continue on, to age myself and continue in the MTV analogy, you're kind of the VJ, the video jockey of this generation. You're here present within the ecosystem and creating and giving spotlights to other creators, other artists that create, you know, experiences on Roblox. If you could talk about that a little, it'd be great.
Yeah, no, I get messages like that all the time. They'll be like, hey, I saw your live stream, or I saw your video, and because of that, I started playing Roblox, or I started playing the specific game on Roblox. So it's kind of like, you know, the games help me, I help the games, you know, the kind of like relationship back and forth. I promote them, those games give me, you know, content to create stuff around, and we just go back and forth.
Got it. So in terms of the experiences and the extended culture? Because, you know, you were mentioned, Nicole, Misfits started as an esports organization, mm-hmm. still competes a lot, you know, within esports. I mean, even us, we have the name esports in our name, and we do a bit less esports now than we used to. Uh-huh. But all this to say that how do these elements interact? Because, of course, Roblox is a great platform, more so than a game. But when you talk about outside of Roblox and the esports ecosystem, the games ecosystem, the existing live in-person events, how do those interact, and how can people see that from a content creation standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at the place where gaming is culture. There is no differentiation. It is music, it is gaming, it's movies, it's entertainment. They shouldn't be looked at as separate. Every 10-year-old, they're native to gaming. They're hanging, right. Like, I always talk about how Roblox or Minecraft, that is their playground. And we saw, like, I think COVID exposed a lot of people's eyes when everyone was at home, especially a lot of parents. Like, no, this is where our kids are actually communicating and hanging out with their friends. And, like, the platform is almost like a social media. I almost say, like, Roblox is more of a social media network than, like, a AAA game that you would play. So it's so much more cohesive into the broader ecosystem. And, I mean, we're seeing sneaker culture, fashion, like, everything's coming in. And I think that's just the next generation, is it's all digitally immersive, right? And it's just, well, I don't know. You might have more to say that, too, because that's a lot of what you do working with brands into that bigger culture play, right? Not just esports, not just gaming. It's how do you bridge it all together?
I like that. I mean, truly gaming today is culture. And then I'd love to hear your thoughts on that and how you approach it, because you're creating so many spaces for that culture to flourish.
Yeah, and that's been the most rewarding part. Every company has their mission statement and values, and one of the things that's kind of unique about Roblox is value number one is respect the community. That's everything we do is about. Early on, we recognized that the player base, which we now think of as the user base because we sort of expanded beyond that, is us, that the creators and the people who are on the platform, we succeed only through them in providing whatever they need. And so just like you said, there was sort of esports, there was gaming, but then there's been this convergence with the streaming, with the way that films will have a component that's in a game and on social media. Yeah. And so what we've recognized is it's just the oldest thing in the world. It's human communication is the business that we're all in. And sometimes that communication is telling a story, and sometimes it's a group of friends getting together, and sometimes it's a group of friends getting together within a story. And so that notion of, you know, at one time we sat around the campfire, and you know, then we had phone calls and video calls and social media, that we haven't lost any aspect of that, but we've put it all into this new online 3D realm. And we now see, to echo your point with hard numbers, our average player spends 2.5 hours a day on the platform. And I don't think of that in any way as people gaming for 2.5 hours. I think of that as people spending 2.5 hours socializing with folks they care about, watching content they care about, interacting with streamers like Creek. And I think that's just fantastic that we can provide that in a way that gets rid of distance and gets rid of some aspects of, you know, the limits of reality and lets everyone be who they want with who they want.
Yeah.
And so, Creek, how much do you think, or how much you perceive your content, your output, is gaming related, and how much is culture? Do you think that there's a difference between both?
Yeah, no, it's interesting, especially as a live streamer. It's like how many people are there to watch me play the game versus how many people are there to watch me, mm-hmm. you know, talk or just, you know, do whatever. I'd say it leans more so personality-wise, like more people are there to watch me, whether I'm playing, you know, X or Y Roblox game. Yep. Like there's definitely people there who just want to play the game, but it's definitely more culture-focused, as you say.
Well, and what I've seen too with live streaming in particular is the community that comes to watch you, they start to have their own friendships, right? They have their own community that gets built off and around you. Sometimes, like if they're at a convention at VidCon where you were just at last week, they're going to meet their friends, let alone, like, of course they want to see you and meet you, but they have built this whole ecosystem and community around it, which again, it's things like Roblox and, you know, the streaming platforms that make this possible, because like you said, people are searching for connection, and that's at the end of the day, what gaming is.
So, I mean, you all independently touched upon the fact that the gaming content, sure, we qualify it as gaming, but it's really social content. To which extent, and in whichever order, to which extent do you guys feel like there is a distinction between social media in the broader sense of the term, what it should be qualified as a social medium and gaming medium? Is gaming a social medium?
Oh, absolutely. End of sentence. Gaming is the ultimate form of social media. It's what books, it's what sci-fi has for so long promised us, is these virtual worlds that we can go into and have all of our facial expressions, all of our hand gestures, all the nuance. Yeah, so that to me is, it's cool. Sometimes I just want a text interface to people online, but especially for people I care about, for communities I belong to, I want to be fully present there. And for almost all of my life, online gaming has been that environment. And now I think it's matured into its full potential.
Yeah.
So the answer is just yes, right? I don't need to ask you all your individual. Creek, go ahead, mate.
I'll say, like, some of my favorite childhood memories is just logging on to, like, Halo 3 or Call of Duty after school. And, like, we would do our homework together while playing the game. Just me and my friends. So it's, it is like a social experience.
Right.
And it's a place, so it's social, but it's also a place where, like, you know, we're here at Collision, which is a tech and all about innovation. And that is at the heart of gaming, too. How are things innovating? And I feel like Roblox, again, a great example of people being able to build and be creative and work together. And that's all tied back to social, but also tied back to creativity and creating new things and coming back to content creation, which has continued to evolve and is really at kind of the peak right now as far as where the attention and where all this creativity is stemming from. The creators are leading that.
Yeah. I mean, we touched upon a few good points. I mean, we started talking about UGC earlier, and I kind of want to go back to it. IPs, we mentioned, of course, everyone knows that now some of the best films, TV shows, etc. You know, back in the days, games would buy IP from films, and now conversely, films and shows buy IP from gaming. And, of course, in this conference, there being a big topic of AI, you know, we talked a little bit, especially on Roblox, what can AI, generative AI, do for, is it UGC? What's the place of that UGC in AI? I'd love to have a little chat about that.
Yeah, so on the tech side, it's been wonderful being here because, you know, we live in a specific market niche, and it's been all about user-generated content and about generative AI for the last few years. And coming here to Collision and seeing a broader audience in the tech industry that's now engaging with exactly the same themes is just so exciting to realize that what we've been doing has been bigger than just the 3D.
Right.
It's actually the whole industry is moving this way. So our focus has always been on user-generated content for 17 years. And making it easier to produce that content and to get it online to your community. Traditionally, that was about taking what had been professional-grade 3D tools, programming tools, and making those easy to use. And the ultimate in easy to use is you just talk to it.
Right.
And that's what generative AI has done. So we now have betas out of several different tools. You can demonstrate an animation. You put your phone in the corner, you do a gesture, and your character does exactly the same gesture, and you no longer use a mouse or professional mocap. For programming, you tell it in English what you want the program to do, and it starts suggesting code for you. And for the materials, for all the artwork, you just describe it. And the system produces these. And this is, you know, this isn't even version one. We're in the pre-alpha stage. Every week we're putting out a new release of these tools. And it's just so exciting thinking about how that lowers the barrier to entry for content creation in the way that tools like YouTube did for video content creation, we're now doing for 3D and the whole industry is.
So on that point, Creek, I mean, do you feel like your audience is giving you feedback? Are they looking for more, you know, when you test these new games within the sandbox, Roblox, do you feel like your audience gives you a feedback on whether they want it to be user-generated through AI? Do they care? Or do they just look at the final output for now?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting topic that I don't really have, like, a full opinion on because, like, especially to like Gen Z, AI is such a controversial topic. And so like, I honestly don't know what to think. Like, I think of like, you know, you've seen the Terminator movies, right? But at the same time, it's kind of cool that they can, you know, help you make your game too. So I'm not sure how to answer that question yet.
Yeah, sure. And from the, is it fair to say that Misfits now is really an entertainment media company?
Yes, 100%.
So from that point, I mean, we don't need to stick exactly on the AI side, but how do you guys approach the creation of your IP? I know you guys did a bit rebrand and you're getting a very, you know, specific within the ecosystem on your goals. So I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, 100%. And I think part of the rebrand and us really focusing more on the entertainment and the lifestyle side is the real goal behind that is to be creator focused and empowering creators. So like, we don't need to create our own IP, like Misfits itself. Yes, we will do our own content, we'll do our own stuff, but really what we're focused on, and last year we, you know, announced a creator fund for $20 million to really support creators, because they're the ones that have incredible ideas and have built these audiences. So how can we leverage them and help support them so that we can build IP together? And we're doing that in a variety of ways. Like, again, building unique creative games in Roblox. We opened up a game studios within our company to do stuff in Roblox and Minecraft and elsewhere. And then leveraging uniquely, like, how can we leverage creators and get their input into what we build so that the fans will want to engage with it? We've seen a lot of, you know, when the metaverse was a big topic, we saw so many brands build a map in Fortnite or Minecraft, but then no one was there, no one played it. They just made it. Cool, they got the PR headline, but where's the engagement? Where's the value? Where's the community around that and supporting that? And then is it only live for like a month? So like, we're really looking at it more long-term and how can we build, you know, sustainability? How can we support the creator so they have a longer career in their life? But how can we leverage that IP together? And I think it's both digitally, but we're also looking, how can we do live events, bring the fans in person? I don't think as many people have done that yet, specifically in Roblox. Like, how can we bring that community together more? So I think that's really what we're looking at in the future. How can we co-create IP together?
So that's interesting, because it seems everyone here on this panel is saying that gaming content creation is somehow giving an opportunity for people to create within gaming. You know, create within Roblox. Even as a media company, one of the first points you mentioned is we want to give our creators, which of course are people like Creek, who have proven their capabilities, talent, etc., an opportunity to create. Is there in the gaming world, I guess, detractor opinion and the opposite opinion that thinks that gaming content should still be from the top down?
I want to build on something you just said first, which I think is really important. There was a time when if you were making a car racing game, you could not use a Porsche or a Lamborghini or a McLaren, because that was their brand and they were not going to let you put it in the game. And then there was a point where they let you license it. And then there was a point where they paid you to put, because they realized the product placement was actually valuable and that the game was where their audience was going to discover their brand. And then now, so McLaren launched their latest supercar in Roblox in a metaverse experience, right? So that's come full circle. But then I think what you understand and what you were just describing is the part that a lot of brands are still learning, which is it's not your marketing campaign, that's where your brand exists now. So you you don't go into these to launch a new thing and disappear. You go in there to stay. And that whatever the real world TV series, the actual product, that's only a piece, and it's probably not even the center of what your brand is about now.
Yeah, well, and especially if they're trying to reach the next demographic, right? Like, we talk about a lot. They're cord cutters. Like, where are they going to see your brand or your advertising? And how can you show up in a way where they are bought in and want to support what you're doing? So I think where we saw a lot of success early was brands who came in and supported esports or gaming, because that was such an underserved community for a long time. The fans would get so excited if it was a partnership done well. So I think that's, it's about thought and intention. But yeah, it's now you can't not be there, right? You got to show up in some way, because that's where they are. That's where they're spending their time.
That's true. So as we're nearing the end of a discussion, this is a classic, you know, ending question for everyone. But what are your hot takes? What is the next trend that people should be looking at? Great.
Oh boy, hot
takes. Yeah, it's a big question. I know. I was like, 5 minutes left. Let's go. You know.
No, I. I think it's a good thing that there's starting to be so much competition in the live streaming space. I know that's a very hot topic right now with Kick and all the other platforms popping up, but it's giving a lot of creators more choice and like places to go, and competition always breeds innovation. So I think that's good.
Nicole.
I think we're going to continue to see the power of creators and really community. Like, how can people be leveraging these communities? Because I think that's at the heart of what everything is, like what Roblox is building. I'm actually more curious to hear what Morgan's going to say.
We still have a bunch of time, then we can talk about it.
So I guess my hot take would be, and this is where ultimately I help build a platform, and there's a certain level of that that's about boring and stable and reliable rather than about the hot new fad of the week. And so for us, I think the hot take is that the excitement around user-generated content, the excitement about what generative AI is doing across the industry, needs to be tempered with a notion of the back end has to have discovery so that as all this new great content comes out, you can find the content that's relevant to you.
That's a good point.
A content explosion means anything you wanted is now a needle in a haystack, and so we don't just need generative AI, we need recommendation AI to really step up. And then all of the safety and digital rights management and privacy and security, that's a lot of what my job is about, that also needs to scale up so that as new content comes out, if you're an 8-year-old and you know you're watching Creek Stream, or you're a 17-year-old who's watching Creek Stream and you're excited that now he's going to play a shooter, or you're a 25-year-old and maybe you're doing online dating in a virtual environment, we need all of that content to be safe and tailored to each of those communities. And this is not something that gets headlines in newspapers and Hacker News and so forth. But I think that providing that baseline we've had from brick and mortar institutions of a notion of when are you in a safe and a private and secure space, when are your rights being respected, that needs to go along with the generative AI revolution. Mm. And so a lot of that sort of the part of the iceberg below the water, that's what we work on at Roblox to make sure that it's not just the exciting new tools, but it's everything that you trust about the platform is staying there with AI, with user-generated content.
It's a great take. And you quickly touched about, and we have a couple of minutes to wrap up, the different type generations of people that are involved in gaming. Of course, gaming's market penetration is enormous with Generation Z. It's great with millennials. It's actually quite big with Gen X. It changes. They're not all the same. But is there, as a quick final parting word, a difference on how they approach that? Because from the creator side, from the media organization side, and from the platform / publisher side, everyone seems to agree that UGC is the future, UGC is the present, that AI will continue to play a pace. But is overall, are the Gen Zs, which truly are the people that matter because they will continue to grow and make decisions, are they fundamentally different? And are these negative or positive stereotypes about gaming on the back end and leaving?
So the funny thing is I spend a lot of time with people at different ages because the nature of our platform and who our community is. And there's a things that I think many older folks and pundits think of as being a sort of a new generation or a Zoomer thing, like social media. When I talk to people who are in those generations, so when I talk to teenagers, for example, and go visit a high school, they think of social media as a boomer thing.
Yeah.
That, right?
So but they think that gaming is their social, right?
Yeah.
And so what's really exciting, though, is that and I think the pandemic accelerated the trends that were going to happen anyway,
100%.
Is I think everybody in the world, pretty much, who has access to computer technology and mobile phones is now a lot more comfortable with video conferencing, with social media, and with 3D environments than maybe they were 3 years ago. And I think that trend was going to happen anyway, but I think it really helped move us towards a future where people can connect online and where it's not a generational barrier or what you grew up with, that everyone's comfortable.
Nicole, you get the final...
No, well, I wanted to add
final
to
thought.
Something about what's to to come, a hot take too, is think of Mr. Beast Feastables and Prime and stuff like that. We're going to see more of that. Like, how are these massive creators going outside of digital, right? And leveraging their IP and their brand name. So that is something we're going to see a lot more of, that. And that's something, obviously, at Misfits, we're looking at how can we support that, because creators don't always have all the resources. But, I mean, wildly successful, right? Feastables Prime. Now, granted, those are like the top 1%.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.